I invite you to find your seats again. We are we're into our last week on our Give Up series, and so this has been a month of prayer and fasting, and we've had one prayer gathering already, and we have another one on Tuesday night. So I'll talk a little bit more about this in the message, but I encourage you, if you haven't taken time or tried any fasting this month, I encourage you on Tuesday. If you're able at all to give up a meal or give up something or give up food for the day, and join us at 7 o'clock at night. Our primary prayer focus that night, we'll have some worship and you'll get to spend some time with God and pray with some other people, but our primary prayer items are you and us. So some of the things that God's laying on your heart, some of the bigger prayer requests that God is saying to you, that you the big prayer requests, some of you were to our first prayer gathering and we gave out cards where you could fill those out, and we'll do that again. Tuesday night, you'll have an opportunity to do that, as well as some of the main prayer requests for our church for this season and for this year. And so just spending a day focused on God and then joining together can be a very powerful experience. Well, if you're like me, and maybe you're not like me, but maybe you are, maybe you've struggled with spiritual hunger. Maybe you struggle with spiritual hunger. What I mean is that there's maybe been times in your life where you haven't been as focused or as hungry for Jesus as you desire, as you want. Sometimes maybe you've dialed it in. You've shown up to church or to other things, and you got a smile on your face, right? And you seem like you're engaged a little bit, but internally, you're just wrestling. And everyone has those times. I think if we're human, it's part of our wrestling with sin and flesh and our world, and it's fairly common. But then you go to things like a retreat or a conference, or you go through a trying time as a family, or God answers a prayer request, or something big happens, and you find that that weekend, that time, that whatever's going on, you're focused again on Jesus, and you kind of get a little bit more of that, and you come back home and life settles back in, and you long to go back to those things. Why? Why does that happen? Because God has created a spiritual hunger in us for Him that only He can satisfy. And that's one of the reasons that we fast. Because during the retreats, during the high times, during those times where we feel closer to God, where we have a greater spiritual hunger, we're actually tapping into what God's put into us all the time anyway. That thing that He wants running underneath the surface of our whole lives. And so when we fast, instead of eating food, we eat God's Word. Instead of spending time on, you know, food prep or social media or whatever you're doing, you're spending time with God. And you're intentionally doing things like prayer and journaling and getting in proximity with God. So if the focus of your life is a little bit off, if you're not desiring after God the way that you want, the way that you should, whatever you want to say that way, some of you are guilt-ridden and you're like, oh, I really should do this, and some of you are more desire-driven and you're, I could do this. Whether you're there or not, I encourage you to give up to get hungry, to give up to get hungry, to give up food or social media or something that's valuable to you so that you become hungry for God. We all hunger after something. Hunger is defined as a feeling of discomfort or weakness caused by a lack of food, coupled with a strong desire or a craving to eat. So hunger is a weakness that creates a desire for something. And so when you have a weakness or a lack in your life, you desire that, and you strive after that. So some people hunger after rest, relaxation, money, fame, meaning, purpose, riches, people hunger after all sorts of things. And when you feel that you're lacking in some area, you begin to hunger after that. You have a desire. And so you begin to put in your life things that will hopefully fill you up, make you not as hungry, satisfy you. Everybody hungers after something. But God wants us to hunger after him. When we are weak in an area, it creates desire. And that's one of the reasons we fast. The point of weakness creates desire. When we intentionally become weak in an area of desire and turn that desire away from the food or whatever we're fasting from onto God, it does something really unique. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, blessed are those, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If Jesus says we'll be blessed when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then guess what? We'll be blessed. He said, when this takes place in your life, there's a blessing that comes with that. When you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, what does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Well, righteousness can just be explained as following Jesus, right living, seeking after God. It has very little to do with your external holiness or perfection. So don't read this as, blessed are those who are perfect, who live perfect lives. Jesus says, no, no, you're blessed when you hunger after following me, after deeper things of the Spirit, hunger after having a good, deep relationship with me. And then he says, for you will be satisfied. And if Jesus says that our hunger for this will be satisfied when we go to him, he means that we'll actually be satisfied. He does the work. What does he ask us to do? This is the interesting part. What's he asking us to do? Get hungry. That's it. We're not responsible for satisfying. We're not responsible for how we feel about that. We're responsible to turn our hunger in the right way. In the Old Testament, God said it this way through the prophet Isaiah. And God is speaking in this passage about salvation through Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus, of what Jesus would fulfill. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. That's a good thing. Who likes free? Anybody like free? We like free. If you hear free, did anyone go and get their free blue box in the fall and stand in line for like 3 hours? People like free things. God says, look, come and drink your fill because I'll satisfy you. It's free. This is the new covenant. Why spend money, time, all these things on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you'll find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. And Peter says something along the same lines. We'll look at it in a few minutes. But the words of life that Jesus spoke. God says, come to me. I'm setting up a new covenant, a new way to relate to me. And I just ask you to come and eat. Come and drink. Have a hunger. Have a thirst for me, and I will satisfy you. Jesus says this of himself. So this passage speaks about Jesus, and Jesus calls back to this passage. In John 6, he says this. So Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. This is a tough passage, okay? I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. All right? Turn your churchianity off for a minute and think about that phrase. Gross. Right? When he first spoke those words, it messed people up. They didn't have the understanding of the Lord's Supper and the look back that we have to all that Jesus would do on the cross. And he's saying this, eat my flesh, drink my blood. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestor did, even though they ate manna, but they will live forever. And Jesus says, look, I've got food that you know nothing about. He says elsewhere, I am living water. He calls people to be satisfied on him and the life that he gives. And so for us, in the Evangelical Missionary Church, when we go to the Lord's table, we don't believe that the bread becomes a physical, actual body of Christ, or the wine or the juice becomes the actual physical blood of Jesus, because that's not what Jesus was talking about. He says, my blood and my flesh have done something for you. They've created an opportunity for new life. I want you to hunger after the life that I give you. And it's found in my sacrifice. It's found in my life. It's found in my words. This happens at a really unique time. Just the day or day, 2 days before Max, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And he comes off that mountain and he goes around the lake and people, he goes across the lake and people follow him. And by the time they find him, they're asking Jesus for another sign and for manna. Moses gave us manna. Why don't you give us some more bread? And they're looking for what? Free. Looking for some free food. And Jesus says, I'll give you all the free food. That was just a foretaste. That's nothing. But I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm not going to do any of these things. I'm going to give you this. And when he said these things, many people who just come for a free meal left him. Many people who are called his disciples, because his disciples weren't just the 12, but the 12 were chosen by him specifically. Many of his followers and disciples left him, and he turns to the 12, and he says, what about you guys? This is tough teaching. Are you going to leave too? And Peter says basically what we hear in Isaiah. He says, to whom would we go? You have the very words of eternal life. Peter was getting hungry for Jesus, spending time with Jesus. A few days after that, Jesus is in the Feast of Shelters, and he stands up at the climax of the festival, and he shouts this to the crowd, John 7. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his, Jesus, heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? God invites you to come. Jesus invites you to come. You are offered spiritual food and spiritual drink. You're offered God's very presence, the Holy Spirit in you. So instead of a religion where you go to festivals and temples and sacrifice and God up there and us down here and hopefully I meet up to all these types of things, God says, I'm going to take care of all of that. And I'm going to give you a righteousness and a spiritual food and a spiritual drink that will never, never leave you hungry, but you'll always hunger for more. It will always satisfy. And in that satisfaction, you'll want more and more because it is life. And it is truth, and it is the way. In a book called Habits of Grace by David Mathis, I've talked about it already. If you'd like it, I'll put a link up on Facebook. It's free. It's from Desiring God. Just talking about different spiritual disciplines, and instead of calling it spiritual disciplines, because that sounds like a lot of my work, they call it Habits of Grace, because it's really about my proximity to God and God's work. And he talks about things like fasting and prayer and journaling, And times when we have to do some work, like we have to do something to get in proximity with God. But God calls us to these deeper things so that we'll be satisfied. And he says this, I can turn on a faucet, but I don't make the water flow. There will be no liquid refreshment without someone else providing it. And so it is for the Christian with the ongoing grace of God. His grace is essential for our spiritual lives, but we don't control the supply. I think I have like an unmarked slide change, so you can, that's kind of what God calls us to, all right? Fasting is like turning on the tap of water on a hot day when you're dry. You ever felt spiritually dry? And we turn on the tap of God's grace, and we just stand in the flow, and we drink, and we're refreshed because we're dry, and we're hot, and we're dusty, and we're beaten down, and we need that refreshment from God. Fasting is turning your hunger for other things, because we hunger over other things, and some things we hunger over are okay, and some of them are not okay, but Jesus needs to be our primary hunger. And so we, whatever you're hungry for, you reach for, right? I am the worst with like small fingery food stuff. If it's out, all I do is eat, because it's just little, right? It tastes really good, and I'm hungry for those things. If they're there, if you're hungering after other things, you reach for them. But fasting says, I'm not reaching for these other things in my life. I'm replacing what I'm reaching for. I'm not filling my cup with these things. I'm going over here to get in proximity to the tap of God's grace, and I'm turning it on. All God asks you to do is turn the tap. Fasting is turning the tap. Fasting is going away from some things and going towards another. Prayer, Bible reading, journaling, meditating on scripture, spiritual retreats, silence, all of these things that we consider deeper spiritual practices, which are just ways of turning on the tap. They're deep because God makes you deep. They're deep because you get immersed in God. They're satisfying because it's what we long for. And so we turn our hearts and lives from this stuff that's going on over here for a time to be satisfied over here. And you know what happens when you get a taste for deep things of God? And you've probably experienced this. Going to a retreat or a conference, having a good conversation with a friend, having God speak to you intimately, where you have that time with God where you know he's real and he's spoken to you and you just want to go back to that point. And sometimes we... in our own humanity, try and recreate and go back. And God's saying, no, that's then. This is now. Just keep coming to me and I'll keep doing that, but more and new and better again and again and again and again and again and again. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be hungry. Fasting isn't just about me. Fasting's actually about others too. When I fast and I get in proximity with God, turn on the tap and I allow his grace, his mercy, his strength to flow in me, and he fills me up and he does the work that I can't do, all my striving over here, I start to overflow into the lives of others. And he changes me. And once I get a taste for those things, I start to know how to experience the flow of his grace and mercy in regular everyday life. When I'm not fasting, when I can't just close my eyes at work, take 15 minutes of silence to figure out what he's saying, when I'm in a meeting and something comes my way, and I have to, in that moment, be with God, have Christ in me, and have Christ through me. That's the point. And so we take time to do these things. Jesus took time to fast. Jesus took time to pray. He took time away to be filled by his Father, and he offers to fill us and give us life. Your greatest hunger is Jesus, who promises to satisfy you as you follow him. Do you get that? Your greatest hunger is Jesus, and he promises to satisfy you, but here's how you're satisfied: as you follow him. Fasting is about following him, learning to follow him deeper and better and more. And so we do these kinds of things. A church who's hungry after God is an effective church because they'll be focused on what God wants, not what we want. And we're empowered by his Spirit. That's the promise. That's the satisfaction to actually do what he's telling us to do. What a concept. That's why I'm calling us to fast. That's why we have pre-service prayer. That's why we have Hearing God Seminar. That's why we have prayer gatherings. That's why we're doing this Set Free thing. That's why we have things in times like that. Because we need it. We need satisfaction. Because all the rest of what we do is empowered by Jesus. And if we aren't in the right place in proximity with Jesus and we're not hungry after righteousness, all that we do in our life and as a church, they're just a fraction of what God really wants to do. Because sometimes we are dry and we lack spiritual hunger and our relationship with God is flat. And I can promise you, it's not God. It's me. But God doesn't look at us and say, I'm sorry, this isn't working out. It's you, not me. He says, come drink. Come eat. It's okay. Come on in. Come in the flow of my grace and my mercy and my peace. Get a taste. Get a hunger. Once you have a taste for real Jesus, you can't go back, and you'll want to do that again and again, every day, throughout the day, all the time. David was a strong warrior king, man's man, but he was a tender-hearted worshiper. And here's what he said: taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you as godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Even the strongest follower of Jesus, the person you look at and you're like, man, I wish I could have what they have with Jesus. Even the strongest Young Lion, even the strongest follower of Jesus, feels weak at times, needs hunger, hungers after Jesus, needs to be filled again and again and again. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. So I just encourage you to try it out. Try it out. How do you have a greater desire or a hunger for worship, not just through song, but with your life? How does that happen? You get in proximity with God, and you turn on the tap by actually throwing yourself into worship. And the more you do that, God fills you, and it will flow out of you. How do you get a hunger or desire for reading God's word? You turn on the tap by getting in proximity with God, opening his word, and not just reading it, consuming it. If it's dead and flat, learn tools and ways of intimacy. What questions can I be asking of God's word? How do I look at this kind of passage of the Bible? It's some learning and some experience. And there are lots of believers who walk through that with you. How do you get a hunger and a passion for prayer? Sometimes we think, oh man, these prayer gatherings and these people who pray, they're super spiritual giants. Wrong. Absolutely not. They're just people who need to turn on a tap, who recognize their hunger and know where to go to satisfy it. How do you get a hunger and a desire for prayer? You start praying. It doesn't matter if you're eloquent or know what you're saying. God doesn't care about that. Neither do we. He wants you to be hungry and thirsty for him. Why? So you can be satisfied. And when you're satisfied in him, then ministry flows out of that. God doesn't want you hungry and thirsty after him because he's got a ton of stuff for you to do. He wants you to be satisfied because it's by grace, through faith, you're saved, but it's not of yourself. And as you're filled with his spirit, and as you're hungry after him, he'll start to overflow out of your life. So I encourage you to give up and get hungry. I long for a deeper spiritual life. I long for more of God. I long for my hunger to be more and more and more focused on Jesus. I long for a church where everyone follows Jesus and every follower of Jesus has their primary hunger after him and him alone. God will satisfy and change us and our witness in the world when our hunger is redirected. And so I encourage you to do this crazy thing. It's a crazy thing, right? Fast. Try it out. Give up your pride. Give up whatever the heck you're hanging on to. It's not me. I can't. Okay, time out. If you can't fast physically, and some of you shouldn't, okay, if you're on medication or you're weak or you're sick or something like that, God doesn't care about the food. He cares about your heart, right? Find something else to give up. He's just looking for you to give up something that matters to you to put your focus on him. And when he does that, he releases just that flow. He fills up. He satisfies. So I encourage you to do this. God will satisfy you. He'll change you. He'll change your witness in the world. He invites us to come, to eat, to drink of food that never goes bad and wine that always satisfies and never runs dry. He promises to fill you with better things as you do. So this Tuesday, I invite you, fast, and come and gather at night and see if doing something like that is different. If you can't come and gather, spend time that evening before bed. Take that day. Let's take that day as a church just to try something different, to go in a bit of a different way and see if our spiritual lives, if our neighbors, if our witness, if our families, if our church, if our prayer requests, if our praying, if our Bible reading, if our hunger and thirst after God don't take on a quantitative and qualitative difference as we do the things that Jesus actually calls us to do. And so he says, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part in me. But if you do, you will have eternal life. Tough teaching, weird teaching, but good teaching. Give up to get hungry. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you give us these living object lessons. You give us this reality of how to come to you for deeper things, how to come to you to be satisfied. God, none of us want empty religion. None of us sitting here just want to sit in rows, watch people up on a stage, and sit as passive participants. We're active in this, God, and you give us an active part to play as we gather and as we scatter. As we're at home on our own with you and you alone, may we choose to give up some things so that our hunger is after you, so that we may be satisfied, so that when we gather, man, it's that much better. Father, we trust you to do these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus
May that be the prayer of our heart. If you are a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to do something different. If you've never decided to follow Jesus, Jesus' call to you is the same thing. He just simply says, come, taste and see, try it out, check me out. I will satisfy. And so I encourage you to explore that. I'd love to talk to you afterwards. Read the Bible for yourself. Discover truth for yourself. And we can absolutely answer questions. Jesus invites all of us this morning. He stood up in the middle of a festival and he said, hey, anyone who's thirsty, here's where you find a drink that satisfies. And he says the same thing still. May we do things where we put aside whatever we're focused on in order to focus on Jesus that we might be truly satisfied. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you sent your son. And that was your plan all along as we learned through Isaiah. That you've given us a new covenant, not based on religion, but based on what your son has done for us. May we taste and see that you're good, God. For people who have struggled, who are just dry in their walk with you, maybe doubting you this morning, Father, I pray you would speak to them in the core of their heart this morning through your Spirit, that they might come back, taste and see that you're good, and experience you in a new and deep and lasting way. Give us a wonderful week. Bless the Antoine family. Thanks, God, that we have opportunity to journey with them in the season of life. We pray a blessing on Mahalia. And may we have you as our primary focus and hunger this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you as you go this morning. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.